This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBolle.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. Now, their mission is to build safe houses for local honeybee populations, one hive at a time. Every honey product purchase supports them in caring for and improving the lives of these honeybees, their keepers, and their environment. Who am I talking about? I'm here with Paul Po Ting Hui and Ashley Lam, co-founders of Jungle House. Good morning, guys.
Hi, everyone. Good morning, Frida. Good morning, Paul.
So I discovered you guys because I saw a sponsored ad for honey cake, but we'll talk about the honey cake later, right?
Okay.
Your passion for honey began many years ago on an adventurous trip into the jungles of Garut in West Java, Indonesia. What did you discover on that trip?
It was a very amazing trip for us, lah. Basically, when we was there, we wasn't know we are entering into such an adventurous trip. Because when we died, we thought that it would take us maybe about 1-2 hours to actually reach the farm. But it actually takes us about 8 hours in total, going through all the roads, the mountains and everything, until we have to stay in one of the villages for about one day. Then second day, we take a motor for another 3 hours to go into the jungle to see the bee farm. So the trip was very amazing and very, I think it's something that I won't forget, lah, because the trip was so, how to say, it was dangerous, but it came in peace together because the people are very good. They follow us, they help us, they bring us, and they put us into a good accommodation. Even though the accommodation that we stay don't have any food, don't have any waters or everything. That means it's all very natural.
Okay. So, Ashley, I know, your husband told me that you come from the bee space, the bee industry. And of course, you know, Paul was in business as well, right? So what made you guys decide to start this?
Okay, I think a little bit background of myself is I was in this industry for 14 years. So I discover or experience how people drink honey and without honey. The differences is a big difference and huge difference. So along the journey, I find out in Malaysia that's very rare to find a very pure honey, especially in the cities. So mostly the honey that we always can easily get is more on commercial honey. So we realize that the uniqueness and the difficulty of this precious honey is always have to go back to the roots, which is the jungle. So the passion comes from the experience that when we go through the experience with a customer on the first day they drink honey, after 3 years, after 5 years, after 12 years, the health condition is different. And then the anti-aging, skin complexions, yeah. So all this make me feel like I wish to make a difference for the cities people, especially city in the city, because in the jungle, I don't think they have this issue of taking natural things. Everywhere is natural. So this is first thing. Second thing is when we go back to the jungle and we get inspired by the people that the village people, they have full of natural things, but the difference is how to improve their living standard and living lifestyle. So through one time of Cambodia service that our church missionary trip, then also inspired us that we can make some different and big impact from them, which is to help this group of people. And by selling honey, the good things that I already have experienced in the 14 years, then we connect with this natural people, and then we bring the nature things to the city, and then we contribute back to them. So it starts from like this, yeah.
Okay, so you pay them fairly, they are still okay. How is it different in terms of how the honey is extracted? Is it how do you know that it doesn't affect the environment in terms of how the honey is extracted?
If it's commercial honey, usually they will use a lot of chemical and smoke to smoke away all the bees. So usually most of the bees, to fasten the progress, they will die or there's a chemical affected in the honey. So for this traditional way, we are using the natural smoke, which is the fire, to smoke away the bees. They will just fly away. And then when we remove the honey, the bee will come back again. So when we cut down the hive, we will always get the quarter. Sometimes it's 1/3 quarter. So they will rebuild the ecosystem again.
Okay. Yeah. Whereas the others, they would remove the whole thing.
Yeah. And also the bees is killed. Due to the way they need to be mass production, they need to be fast. So they will use a chemical thing so that it will affect the honey sometimes. So it doesn't mean at all the bees is all the honey is like that, but the majority commercial honey, they will do that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So who are the farmers you work with? Do you work with Malaysian these producers, or do you work with other countries?
Mainly it's Indonesia and Thailand now. As mentioned before, Malaysia also, we have the passion on that. It's just a matter of time that can we get the quality natural area, the honey, because we stand very strong on the quality of the honey. But doesn't mean Malaysia don't have. But with the comparison, the starting point when we go to Indonesia, the honey, even the bee and the bees is even bigger, more like the cockroach here is so small, but in the jungle, cockroach is so big. So the nature, environment, everything is so different. It's big difference.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Mm. Do you all have, how do you ensure consistent supply?
Yeah, so actually the sustainability supply, it very depends on the sources that we actually get from. So honey, usually they take about 28 days, if it's a wild honey, to actually reform back the hive and everything. So of course, jungle honey, that will be very limited. So from there, we actually work with not only one farmers, but we work with about 400 to 500 farmers in Indonesia, they came from different places in Indonesia. Of course, there are a lot of places. Because one good thing about in Indonesia is, as I told you, the natural resources are a lot. So most of the farm, like all the fruit farms, especially some of our very best-selling honey, the fruit farms are very fresh in the sense that they don't use fertilizer. They just grow it naturally and the farm are actually huge. So from there, right, the bee actually get consistent supply of nectars and also the food in a way that they also actually harvest more honey for us to actually take from there. So that's actually how we actually keep the sustainability of the honey. We make sure that we don't destroy their home. And also, we must also make sure that they have sufficient supply of food because they also want, they also need the food.
Okay. So right now, how many outlets do you guys have?
At this moment, we have nine outlets.
You're in KL and also in Penang, right?
The first store is in Penang, then the rest are actually in KL.
Right, okay. So that is this is the hometown store.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Now, I want to know a little bit about, working with, starting, what happened during the pandemic, how business was affected or not affected during the pandemic and during the many lockdowns. We'll discuss that in just a moment. I'm here with Ashley Lam and Paul, or Paul Ting Hui, from Jungle House. Stay tuned to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary. Baba from Malacca. BFM 89.9, The Business Station. Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. I'm here with the co-founders of Jungle House, Po Ting Hui, or Paul, and Ashley Lam. And you might have seen the outlets. There are 9 of them in Peninsula Malaysia, and they have a wide array of honey products. I want to talk a little bit about the vegan community, right? You know, it's because of vegans always believe, you know, not in consuming honey and eggs and all that. Is that a concern for you, or do you, you know, that is not a major factor?
Oh, so this one I answer. Okay, vegan actually it's quite how to say, they are quite enjoy honey because due to they have the form of like animal exploitation, like bees, all this is something that they will avoid. So as a result, they also go for diet. So actually, honey will become the replacement for them. And number of plant-based like sweetener. So like this range, like maple syrup to black step, they're molasses. So I think a lot of vegans will come to honey as well. It's just that they really want to have enough energy, because most of the proteins is not getting it from the vegetables only, because meat is from the vegetables. But honey have a lot of minerals, a lot of vitamins. It's a multiple, we call it superfood in the Egypt civilization, in the China civilization, those 5,000 years civilization. So there are vegans is trying to actually find the best food for them. Usually they will go for honey as well.
Right, okay. Yeah. I think in this case, there are two kinds of communities. There's vegetarians and then there's vegans. So I think like maybe vegetarians will be open to it. Vegans are not that open to it. Vegans don't really take anything from animal products. So maybe like vegetarians would. But I think one of the concerns is that because it is not harvested sustainably, that people refrain from taking honey. But if it's harvested, sustainably, and you know, I think maybe that's one way of overcoming it. But that's a segment of the market, right? So okay, tell me about the products that you have. How many SKUs do you guys have?
At this moment, we have about 70 plus to 80, and we are still innovating the product itself, lah. Basically, we have about five main categories. So the first categories are actually the raw honey categories. So we have multiflora, monoflora kinds of honey. Then the second one is actually honey gift. So we made honey into a very cute gift, where usually like Christmas, Chinese New Year, or even Rayas, a lot of people actually bought and give to people because it's something very special. Then we have our honey beverage, where we have our honey juice, we have all our honey teas and everything. Then we have our coffee and also our cake. So basically, these are the 5 major categories.
What has been most popular, though, when you talk about your different products, what has been most popular in terms of the different categories?
I think raw honeys are still people recognize us the most. I think that is our very solid products where people recognize about nice, good honey, good qualities honey. Yeah, and especially what we call the royal white and the royal black. Especially royal black, because royal black is something very bitter. That means the honeys are bitter, because people thought honeys are always usually the sweet one. Yeah, but our royal black is actually the bitter honey. So people
eat like this.
It tastes bitter at the first, but the aftertaste will be very a little bit of sweet. Yeah, so something very special. Yeah, sorry. Then second, the most recent one is actually the honey cake. We actually introduced honey cake about 6 months ago, and it has been selling very, very good, and people give a lot of good feedback about this.
It's been selling like hotcakes.
Yes.
Okay, this is really nice. So I actually discovered this in Kazakhstan, because I think it's obviously of Russian heritage. So yeah, very interesting. So now, are your outlets mostly just people go in and buy the products, or is there a cafe?
Yes. Initially we started with retails. That means people would just go in and buy drinks, or maybe buy ready-made drinks, or maybe they buy the raw honey. But with the latest, I think we have one brand new concept. It's actually located in Bangsa Telawi, where we incorporate a cafe experience so that people can feel how honey can turn into their life. So we have honey coffee, we have honey cakes, we have honey oats. There are a lot of new things where we don't sell in other retailers. We can actually find in our latest cafe. We call it the Experience Hub in Bangsar Telawi.
Right. Who does all the R&D for all these new products?
Okay. My wife does the R&D. I approve the taste.
So she do all the hard work, huh? You do the easy work.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so that is the idea behind the cafe and all that. So was there any during the lockdowns, right? Was there any problems with getting hold of supply?
During the lockdowns, I think supplies have a little bit of issue because of the logistics. I think 70% of our honey coming from overseas, basically from Indonesia and Thailand. But then because of the logistic issue, right, we have a little bit of delays in terms of the shipment and the honey. But apart from that, our toughest challenges are more on because MCO and our stores are all located in the mall, so we couldn't operate during that time.
So what did you guys do? I mean, focus on online.
To survive. To survive, I think a big blessing that we have a number of 40,000 regular members data that they once they purchase drinks, they give us the name and contact numbers. So during the pandemic, we will just tell them that we will send honey to your doorstep without going to mall. So pandemic time, I think customer has been have the wealth conscious, more educated on finding the good thing supplement for themselves as and family. So honey is one of the natural choice for them. So it's easier for us to call them. So that's how to keep us survive for delivery. Then Paul, my husband, is focusedly established the online platform. So online is started during MCO. And the cakes, all this thing, is everything creative mind come in MCO. It's like everything. Everything got two sides.
Okay. Okay, how do you ensure the consistency of the taste of the honey, right? I mean, that's one thing. And then, so the honey arrives and the packaging is done in Malaysia?
Yes.
Okay, all right. But so you know, like from Indonesia, this farm, the honey will taste like this. From this farm, the honey will taste like this.
Yes, because our honey are actually natural raw honey, so there are sometimes a little bit difference in terms of taste because different season, not because of different places, but more on different season. Because sometimes your humidity, it's a raining season, sometimes it's actually a dry season. So a little bit different in terms of the taste and honey. But we actually made this as one of our unique selling point because we wanted the customer to actually taste the most raw and natural honey.
Right.
Yes. So that's actually, you will see some colors are a little bit different, especially during different season.
Oh, so interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So what is the ratio of online and offline business before pandemic? What is it now? And then do you think, you know, online will be more than offline in the future?
Before pandemic, I think 95% or I think almost 99% is actually all retails lah, because we started in retails. Yeah, but that only sustained us for about 1 year because the last 3 years, 1 year actually we are operating in a normal mode. Then the other two years are actually during MCO. So right now, I mean today, if you look back in it, online has already take out about 25% of our total sales already. If you ask me about future, I would say that it's going to be something like a omnichannel where customer will still want to experience and be educated about honey in a store. Because in Malaysia, I think people knows about honey, but they right. doesn't know about how good is honey and how honey can actually blend into their life. So the experience store actually gave them that kind of education and that kind of experience because they can taste every honey. They can taste how nice when you mix with coffee. You mix your coffee aromas and the taste are so nice. Then how do you put into tea and you become something very special. And all these things, you cannot go through online because you can do the education through online. But the education will be much more better when they are experienced by their own in the store.
So then after that, after they know already, then they can buy online after that, right?
Yes, correct. Yes.
Okay. So in terms of your products, can people purchase online from overseas?
Yes, we send to Arabs, we send to a lot of Middle East country. Yeah, we even tried to send one before into Italy, yes. Okay.
But they can order online?
Yes.
All right. And in terms of physical stores, are there any plans to go overseas?
Yes, it's always in our dream. So we wanted, initially, we have our second year plan actually to start the stores in Thailand and Singapore. But I think COVID came without plan. So we actually delayed it. But I think that once we see that the markets and the economics and also the pandemic has started to stabilize, then I think our next stop most probably will be in Singapore first, then Thailand.
Okay. Are you open to licensing or franchising?
I think yes.
Yeah,
local partner
is nodding her head.
yes, with a good partners, because I think if opening in overseas, we need to seek for a good partners, someone who has shared the same passion and believe in us.
Right. Okay. So interesting. So moving forward, are you planning to open more outlets here in Malaysia? Yes.
Yes,
they're nodding their head to me. So, all right. So you're not afraid after the pandemic, but there are plans to open more outlets in Malaysia. Well, I say, you know, all the best to both of you with what you've done, you know. So very interesting. Check them out. I've been speaking to Paul Poting Hui and Ashley Lam from Jungle House. You've been listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Are you open for business? Register your company with BossBelay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.